Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, and reads as follows. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, throughout the Old Testament scriptures, the prophets wrote by inspiration of the Holy Ghost concerning Christ, the coming Messiah. They described his person as being true God and true man. They described his work as involving the suffering and death vicariously as the substitute for sinners, bearing the sins of the world to redeem us by his innocent suffering and death. They also wrote about Christ as a prophet, who as a prophet would preach to the people and perform miracles in demonstration of his messiahship. Those miracles bore witness to the fact that he is the Son of God. They also demonstrated his compassion and mercy for those in need. Thus the prophet Isaiah wrote, Say to them that are of a fearful heart, Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. The first of the miracles foretold in that prophecy, the opening of the eyes of the blind, was one that Jesus performed on multiple occasions. And our text for this morning is one such occasion, where Jesus gives sight to a man who was born blind. Let this then be the focus of our meditation for today, how Jesus, the light of the world, brought sight to a blind man. We will see in the first place that Jesus pointed out the reason for this man's blindness. Secondly, Jesus declared himself to be the light of the world. And thirdly, Jesus performed a miracle so that the man would be able to see. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. As Jesus was walking with his disciples near the temple, they observed a man who had never been able to see. A man who had been born blind. Considering this man's condition, the disciples wondered what the cause was. They concluded someone must have done something bad. Someone must have sinned to account for that blindness. So they brought the question to Jesus, certain that he would know the answer. Our text says, And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, neither one of those suggested assumptions were correct. The man's blindness was not the result of a specific sin he had committed or that his parents had committed. While it is correct to say that pain and suffering in general are the results of sin in the world, for prior to Adam and Eve's fall into sin, there was no pain, suffering, or death. Yet it is not accurate to say that when a person suffers from a certain affliction, that that is a direct result of something terrible that he had done. To assume such would be to make the same kind of inaccurate, sinful judgment that Job's so-called friends did. And here we see in our text the disciples of Jesus doing basically that same thing with reference to this man who was born blind, asking Jesus, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Those were the only two possibilities that occurred to them. But according to Jesus' answer in the next verse, we learn that neither one of those possibilities were correct. We read, "Jesus answered, 'Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him.'" Now, Jesus is obviously not saying here that the man or his parents had never committed any sins, but as is clear from the context, he is stating that his blindness was not the result of any sin he had committed or his parents. But Jesus does say in our text what the cause was, what the reason was. He says that the works of God should be made manifest or shown in him. So Jesus gives that as the reason. This blind man was not being punished for a specific sin he had committed or his parents had committed, but so that there would be a wonderful opportunity for the works of God to be made manifest, revealed, showed in him through Jesus' miracle of healing. It is a very common question that often plagues the minds of people, and this is how it is put generally by the world. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, we know from the scriptures that all people are sinful. So really, they deserve nothing but eternal hellfire. We can, though, consider the question worded slightly differently. Why do those whom God loves suffer in this life? Now, the thought that first occurs to the fleshly mind of man is either what the disciples suggested, well, they must have done something wrong, or if that's not the case, then they are tempted by their flesh and the devil to think that God is not being fair in his dealings. If they didn't do anything specifically to deserve that, why are they suffering it? And thus they become dissatisfied with God's providence and angry with the Lord. So it's important to remember what the scriptures tell us about the crosses that God lays upon those whom he loves. They are marks of his love. They are designed for the good of those to whom the afflictions are given. Through patient suffering, God wants us to be exercised in our faith and grow in our knowledge and appreciation of his love in the gospel, so that through the power of the gospel, the Holy Ghost would indeed strengthen our faith, increase our patient endurance in all trials, and produce and multiply various other Christian virtues. Yes, under the wisdom and blessing of God, the pains and afflictions we endure as the believing children of God are designed for our good. And that includes even death itself. Even death is a good thing for Christians. It's a wonderful deliverance from all the pain and sufferings of this earthly life. The world obviously doesn't think of it that way. The carnal mind of man charges God with injustice. They're unaware, they're oblivious of the gracious design of God in delivering a Christian from this life of sin by taking him to heaven. Accordingly, the prophet Isaiah wrote by inspiration of God, "The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds. each one walking in his uprightness. Returning to our text, the blindness of the man to whom we are here introduced, though it was indeed a great cross that he had to bear, it was a great blessing for him too. Not only was the power and grace of God demonstrated when Jesus brought him to sight, but as we'll examine in more detail next Sunday. Next Sunday's sermon is also from this chapter and gives a little continuation to what we learn here today. But there we'll learn that it was through this miracle that this man was brought to know the Lord Jesus as his Savior from sin. So the fact that he had been blind from birth was not evidence of God's anger or wrath against him or his parents. No, it was a manifestation of God's saving grace and love. In the next verse of our text, Jesus refers to the work that he's been sent into this world to accomplish, which included the work of doing miracles, such as bringing sight to the blind. And he refers to the time of his earthly ministry as the day in which work must be accomplished. He says, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." So Jesus needed to do the work of his ministry during the time of his ministry. Now, a similar point can be made for all of us. We need to do the work that God wants us to do during the time that he's given us to do it. The time of our life. That's the day in which we must work. Because when the night of death comes, well, then our work must cease. During Christ's visible ministry, his presence among men during the time of his earthly ministry, he was a great spiritual light shining in a world of darkness, as he declares himself to be in the next verse of our text, where we read, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Now, Jesus had used that description of himself before. In fact, in the previous chapter, verse 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And notice there how unbelief is described as walking in darkness, in spiritual blindness. That is the condition of all people by nature. They're spiritually blind, lost in darkness. That is a condition that no man has the power to remedy. He doesn't have the ability to bring himself out of darkness. Just like the blind man in our text didn't have the power to bring himself to sight. Without Christ, how dark this world would be. It would be nothing but sin, unbelief, sorrow, pain, and death, and despair. Without Christ, we would not know God as our loving Heavenly Father, but only as our righteous judge who would bring down upon us the wages of our sins, eternal condemnation in the fire of hell. But thankfully, Christ came as a glorious light into this world, bringing the light of saving faith in him, clearing away the darkness and gloom of unbelief, bestowing upon us the light of his grace, and giving us the inheritance of eternal light in heaven. May we never lose sight of Christ, our light, but continue to be spiritually enlightened and enriched by him, growing in our appreciation of the Redeemer and reflecting his light in our lives as we continue to finish off our days in this world of darkness. Yes, Jesus is the bringer of spiritual light that dispels the darkness of unbelief from man's heart, bringing him out of spiritual blindness to spiritual sight. And as our text continues, we see that the Savior also brought the man who was born in physical blindness to physical sight, enabling him to see with his eyes for the first time in his whole life. We read in our text, "When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation, sent. "He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing." What a wonderful blessing, a miraculous display of divine power and mercy. Jesus did for that man what no physician then or even now, with all the great medical advancements of today, even doctors today couldn't have done that. Brought sight to a man who was born blind in an instant. We should never forget that the same divine physician, our Lord Jesus Christ, still has the same kind of power to heal and to help us in all of our needs today. Now, he's provided us with doctors and medicine that we can use for our physical well-being, but we should not trust in those things more than we trust in God. If the Lord does not bless the endeavors, the works of the doctors and the surgeons, well, their work will not meet with success. Therefore, it is much more important for us to have God and His blessing than to have a good doctor or surgeon. God is the almighty creator and preserver of life and health. He made our bodies. He can heal them. We should be confident of His power and mercy and thank Him when He bestows such upon us. And we obviously cannot claim to deserve any of His gracious blessings when we think about how often we've broken His commandments, more times than we can recount. Yes, love for ourselves often dominates our hearts and pushes out the love of God and love for our neighbor, so that we serve our own self-interests more than what God wants us to do. Because of our miserable flesh, even we Christians do not always treat one another with the same kind of unselfish, self-sacrificing love that His law requires. Even Christian spouses do not consistently love one another. Even Christian children do not always obey and respect their parents as they should, and so on. According to God's holy law, even one single sinful thought renders us guilty before Him and deserving of damnation. But thankfully, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the light of the world, has secured for us complete forgiveness of all our sins. Forgiveness, peace with God, the promise of everlasting light and glory in heaven. That is not set forth in Scripture as something for us to earn, thankfully, because we cannot earn it. But it's set forth as something earned for us by Christ and given to us freely for us to receive by faith. And as the one who forgives us all our sins has reconciled us through Christ, He will most certainly also take care of us in all of our physical needs. The Bible says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" In His infallible, never failing word, God promises to hear and answer our prayers. He says, "Call upon Me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify Me." Notice here that He tells us to call upon Him not only for help, but also after He's granted us that help, to glorify Him, praise and thank Him for the answers He's provided for us. His answer may not always be exactly what we asked, maybe completely different, but we know His answer is always for the best, so we should never complain about it. Instead, we should give all glory to His holy name, praise and thank him for all the love that he bestows upon us so consistently. Indeed, the Lord provides us undeserving sinners with blessings every day that we generally take for granted. Life and breath day by day, health, strength of body, more importantly, strength of soul, the spiritual blessings. He didn't leave us in our spiritual blindness. He graciously brought us to spiritual sight through saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And through that faith, we receive all the other spiritual blessings, even the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. May God's Holy Spirit work in us an increased gratitude, thankfulness for all his rich blessings, and move us to show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light by following his commandments in love, cheerfully following him who is the light of the world, who brings us eternal life and light by his grace. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.